The small town of Black Diamond is the site of a big housing development. And when we say big, we mean this development that's coming is four times the size of Black Diamond currently. To say the town is divided over this is an understatement. It has nearly broken the Black Diamond government. KUOW's Region of Boom team has been covering the controversy, and as we wrap up our coverage, we want to talk about what the future holds for Black Diamond. Reporter Dennis Box has been covering this development fight for years. Kristen Bryant is a member of Save Black Diamond, a group that tried to stop the development. And Jonna Thompson lives in Black Diamond, and she thinks the development is really going to connect the town.
I think that as Black Diamond grows and as we get improved streets and more sidewalks that are part of the byproduct of the growth, that we'll be able to walk easily from the current library to the new development, the new villages, and where there will be some shopping and a community center and activities happening, like there's going to be a big open area where they're going to be able to have live music and a farmer's market and things that are going to draw people from the downtown corridor into the villages.
Kristen, you are tussling with this development, which is going to happen. The fight went up to the Supreme Court and the fight was lost there. You can't stop the development. So what are you hoping to do?
So it's a good question. There are, in a development of this size, permit decisions after permit decisions after permit decisions that have come since the fight started, that was the court case that you referred to, and that have come, you know, that are going on right now and will come for the next 10 years. So those kinds of things are going to come up over and over. Schools are going to be a huge issue that are still going to have to be addressed. How are they going to pay for? Is it possible to avoid a huge amount of crowding in schools like we've seen in Snoqualmie and Redmond and the Lake Washington School District, and bonds that fail to pass?
Okay. Kristen is speaking on behalf of constructive argument that, and I want to talk about argument, because these two viewpoints, accepting the development, resisting or improving the development, they're kind of duking it out in the city government, almost literally, actually. Jonna, what's going on there?
Well, let me say that our city council is made up of five people, and there are three people who vote as a block, and they have agreed to support each other, and they vote all the time the same direction. And so what they're really doing is excluding the other two council members, and they don't talk at all with the other two council members. They don't communicate with them outside of the council meetings. They don't try to chat with them. They don't try to ask them their opinion about anything. So the three council members have really isolated themselves from the other two council members. And then the three council members, with one of the things they do is they love to blame the mayor on everything. Everything's the mayor's fault, and that's not true at all. That's not accurate at all.
How would you characterize, Kristen, what's going on the city with the city council and the mayor right now?
The mayor and the two council minority members had been swept up into some misinformation regarding the development and the whole you can't do anything. But clearly it matters to the developer quite a bit who's on the city council, who's in the mayor's seat, and that says volumes about what the influence of future elected officials really is. And I really think that they have become pro-development. There is a huge problem with you know, not necessarily having that position, although I don't think that it's one that's representative of the town, but with using the instruments of power to then try to embarrass your political opponents by not posting their agendas or information on the website, not letting some council member at a meeting finish a motion. Those instruments of power that the mayor wields with her gavel, with kicking people out of the room, calling recesses that aren't appropriate, that's a real problem no matter which side of the politics you come down on. We can't have a functioning government if basic rules aren't followed.
Dennis, what's your observation? You're sitting in a different chair as a reporter.
You know, so as a writer, one of the interesting things and the things that you try to keep yourself to understand, remember, all of these council members and the mayor were on the same side at one time. In the beginning, they were all on the same side.
And what was that?
Against the development, all of them. And all of them were acting actively involved, you know, in it appropriately. I'm not, you know, they just were. And as things go along, coalitions change, sides change, you know, it's like politics. Like I said, it's like groups, you know, people change, things change.
And new information comes to light too, I assume.
Yeah. And for example, you talk about three members of the majority and making a coalition. That's how our government works. It works by groups, coalitions coming together, and you know, and it really aggravates the minority. Ask the Democrats how they feel at the House right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it works. And it can be very, very frustrating for either side at times. But, you know, that's kind of the system we have. And those coalitions form and move and change and break. And a lot of times as a reporter, what I'm doing when I'm covering any political entity at all is I'm watching those coalitions change and to see where things will go, because you're always trying to predict that and trying to figure that out. But it's also, that's the function of our government. Our government is about eventually compromise. Coalitions form, compromises get made. When we have trouble in our government is when we cannot compromise.
Jonna and Kristen, on two sides of this development argument, what do you agree on?
Well, I can't speak for Jonna, so...
Well, maybe we can find out right now. What would you guess?
I think that there is a real strong care for maintaining a sense of a rural small community in Black Diamond. I think that people are very, very concerned about school crowding and how can you best handle growth without having the kids all end up in portables for years before you can build schools. I think that there's a desire to protect trees and natural spaces and wildlife. I know that a lot of people have testified about that.
Jonna, school overcrowding, protecting the natural environment. I assume you agree on that.
Well, I agree that a healthy future for Black Diamond is what we want, and that's for a healthy future for the city itself. The city is kind of its own entity, and a healthy future for the people that live there now and for the people who are coming. And within that healthy future, it's everyone being able to enjoy and take advantage of how beautiful it is there and the deer walking through your front yard and friendly people are in the community. So there's some really wonderful things about Black Diamond that we can share with people who are coming in as future residents.
Kristen also mentioned a small community feel. There's a heart of a question, right? Do you still want Black Diamond, as you want it to grow with this development, do you still want it to have a small community feel?
I think that that's part of the design that's going into the villages. It's designed around being a rural community with lots of open space and neighborhood feelings. The schools that have already been planned for in the development are developed around being walkable and being neighborhood within the neighborhood so that families can meet each other. They're also designed at having a capacity of about 400 students, so not mega elementaries, but much smaller, so families actually get a chance to know each other. So that is part of the plan behind the development, is growing small communities that can interact with each other, but also have a connection within themselves.
So yes, small community feel. You said rural, open space. That can be Black Diamond's future.
Correct.
Agreed, Kristen?
So regarding open space, it's really important to know that the developer has about 1,500 acres. Let's say 500 are preserved as open space. Those are almost entirely wetlands and protected wetland buffers, which are lands you cannot develop according to state law. The developer is even putting their trails into those buffers rather than outside of them. They are preserving almost no open space beyond what the state minimum would require.
So to you, Black Diamond will lose its small time. I'm quoting you, small community feel, rural, open space feeling.
I think
that's
it will.
Away.
I think it's hard to imagine any place that could quadruple, that could add 20,000 people to the 4,000 existing and not have a drastic change in feel.
Okay.
That worries me quite a bit.
Dennis, you've seen other communities change and you've listened to this conversation about Black Diamond's future. What do you think?
That's just the word you use, change. It will change. That is correct. It will change.
We can confirm that.
It will change. And generally speaking, I mean, it's sooner or later, people, you know, kind of begin governing. As people move in, other people get on the council, other people do this, other, you know. So communities always change. They're living organisms. They always change. Just like a council. A council is a living organism. It is a group. It's kind of like group therapy, you know, and it's a group and it changes. You know, the political hostility and the tension at the meeting that they're referring to will abate. There will come a time when it will abate and you'll once again have council meetings where there's two people at it and you know, meet.
Just like the old days.
It'll happen. Yes, they'll come together and it'll be hard, but eventually they'll figure it out.
KUOW 94.9 Seattle News and Information, talking about the future of Black Diamond with reporter Dennis Box, who covers the town for the Renton Reporter. And we also heard from Jonna Thompson, a Black Diamond resident, and Kirsten Bryant, a member of the anti-development group Save Black Diamond. And you'll find all our coverage on that town's development argument, conversation that they're having right now. Just go to KUOW.org and you search for Region of Boom.